You're listening to The Warehouse, a speaking of show by WFSU. Graffiti is a controversial art, to say the least. Some think it can make a dull or rundown area look beautiful, while others consider it a crime. We do know that graffiti is an ancient form of expression that we can see evidence of thousands of years ago, ranging from cave paintings to markings on the city walls of Pompeii. Josh Johnson is sitting down with Matt Shanigan, a local muralist and graffiti expert, to discuss the history of graffiti, the controversy surrounding it, and what it can add to a community.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and today, like always, we have an incredible guest and an incredible topic. We have with us Matt Shanigan, who locally has garnered a reputation not only as an artist, more specifically a muralist, but as an expert, if you will, on graffiti and the culture that surrounds it. First of all, thanks for joining us, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. No, happy to be here.
Absolutely. Graffiti is something that has come up peripherally in so many episodes of the show. I am just such a fan of graffiti, but I also understand the cognitive dissonance that goes around it. Is it vandalism? Is it art? I get all of that stuff. But for whatever it is, let's talk about it today. So let's jump right in. The origins of graffiti, we see it mainly in the big cities. The main two are Philly and New York. I have a question for you. Why do you think, and I know nobody knows exactly, but why do you think people started doing it?
I mean, that's kind of a tough one, you know.
Sure.
It's funny. I mean, you know, you can go all the way back to paintings on walls and caves, you know. It's funny, some of the first, like, earliest recorded graffiti back in ancient Rome, you know, criticizing leaders and stuff like that, you know, and it still holds true today. I think, you know, it's a way for people to feel like their voice is being heard when maybe they feel like they can't affect the things around them. It's something anyone can do.
What you just said touched on a really cool point. It was Dr. King, I think. He was asked about riots. You know, how do you feel about riots? And obviously, he wasn't a proponent of rioting, but he said, I do understand that at some degree, it's the language of the unheard. And that kind of hits on what you just said. Sometimes graffiti can be the language of the unheard. Is it the bathroom wall effect? You know, when we go into the bathroom, we just have that itch to draw on the wall. Or do you think it's more substantive than that?
You know, I think it's tricky because that's kind of subjective, you know. I mean, like, my reasoning for getting into it and wanting to paint is probably worlds apart from someone else's reason for getting into it. For me, it just started as something, you know, being young, being in a punk band, going to punk and hardcore shows, seeing album covers with graffiti on them. Something I wanted to do, you know?
Sure.
So, I mean, the first graffiti, I remember the first thing I ever painted was in a ditch in a neighborhood. It was my my band's name. And it was so silly, but it just caught me from there. And, you know, it's one of these things where once you do it, and the possibilities are endless, you can really do, I mean, you could do anything with it.
Like a tattoo or a Lay's potato chip. You can't just have one.
That's right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So here's the big one. We can't have this conversation without this type of dueling sword of, is graffiti art or is graffiti vandalism?
I think at its temporal beginning, yeah, you know, it's vandalism. But it's one of those things that I think everyone has to grapple with how they are going to approach it and how they're going to kind of square that circle in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this day and age now, I mean, graffiti is you see marketing campaigns of graffiti. There's, you know, legal graffiti. There's, you know, graffiti on clothing. There's all sorts of stuff. If we're talking about pure graffiti, tagging, you know, doing throw-ups, pieces, stuff like that, from writer to writer, everyone kind of has their own idea of what lines they will cross and will not cross. For most of the people that I knew and for me, I mean, I'm not going to write on anyone's car, anyone's home, anything like that. It would be commercial properties, train bridges, things like that, that just not kept up with these things that are a lot of people consider eyesores, these big giant buildings owned by corporations. I mean, things like that. It's still a crime. It's still something that you're risking your freedom to do. But to me, it was just, it was worth it. To me, I like seeing the art, you know, whether it's something that I find personally gratifying to look at or not. I just appreciate art. I appreciate people expressing themselves.
Absolutely. When we have conversations in municipalities or cities across the nation or world about public art, we understand that public art kind of soothes certain sentiments, right? Sometimes it can lower crime, and sometimes it can engender more pride in communities, whatever it is. If we understand that about public art, can graffiti then latch on to that and say, in some way, it is doing a service to people and not just to the creator?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I mean, for me, it was tricky because, you know, when I first started painting, you know, I mean, Gaines Street in 2005 does not look like Gaines Street now. And, I would have to sneak out and I'd get rides and we'd go running around and in the warehouses and everything. And it's, you know, you couldn't pay people to go over there. And, you know, but we were able to paint and you could drive by and you could have pride in it and you'd hear people talking about it. You'd see people post pictures of it. And I think that it does certainly do a service. I think it's better than, you know, some of the things that we are forced to see as far as the advertising. There's a lot of things that are outside of our control when we're just living in a city, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that we have to see that we don't really get a say over. And so I think the idea of being able to, you know, spruce it up, you know, with or without permission, you're going to have people who don't like it. But I think more often than not, you're going to have people who do.
Absolutely. Or at least can appreciate it.
Right. Right.
That's a perfect segue also, because you're right. People used to, I mean, still today in some small sample size, it was a seedy part of town and it was right. A scary place to be. And like you said, you couldn't pay somebody to go over there and spend time in one of those warehouses at night doing anything, let alone some art endeavor. But it also now speaks to where this art form bubbled up from. Poor folk, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this huge class divide that we're dealing with writ large, but also in the arts. And I don't think it's seen anywhere better than graffiti. Let's talk about that for a while. From how you understand it, what made the class or the demographics of people that started graffiti start graffiti?
You know, like cornbread. You know, cornbread is often...
Darryl McRae. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right. He's, you know, often credited as one of the first people to write his own nickname, you know, aside from... you know, street gangs putting up their names and stuff like that, you know, and that was all in pursuit of a girl, you know. he went through a neighborhood and kept writing his nickname that he got when he was in a juvenile detention center, and it paid off. And I think that story is, I did the same thing with my wife, you know, it's a tale as old as time. But, you know, then you look at someone like Dondi White and, you know, Dondi White coming around, you know, in the 70s in New York and trying to be a young kid growing up, facing all the challenges that he had to in that city at that time, you know, it's an escape for a lot of people. I think it is a way to, you know, uplift yourself, and you can be anything you want, you know, with being anonymous. Sure. You know, you can... To me, that was the allure, and I think that's the allure of a lot of people, is you're born into these places where you don't have a lot of say over your surroundings, you know. It's just by virtue that you ended up there, and you can't feel like you can affect them in any meaningful way. So the idea that I can grab a can of paint or a marker and I can transport myself to, I can paint on these walls and make it look like New York City, even though I'm stuck in Tallahassee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I can turn myself into anyone I want. And to me, it was a huge confidence boost. That's what I think it is for a lot of people, you know, not having the means to go to art school myself or things like that. I did it on my own. I said, okay, if I can't do that, then I'm going to put my art out and you're going to have to see it.
So, before I get into my next question, I want to beat you up on something that you just said just because I have to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a seven generation Leon Countyan and as somebody who flies the Tallahassee flag, New York should be painting murals of Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
Because they're stuck in New York.
Right.
We are the greatest city on planet Earth. Now, I know we just
now that I'm older and wiser, I agree.
My man. Most art, people would say, comes with the responsibility. I am somebody who says that art does come with the responsibility. I've talked to people just as credible who has said, no, art doesn't come with the responsibility. The responsibility is the creation itself. It's a two-part question. Do you believe that there's a responsibility to art?
Yeah, I believe so. I do. I mean, it's expression, you know, so we should be able to express ourselves, and I fully support that. But no, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's got to be within some kind of reason.
Sure, sure.
You know.
And then the second part is, if there's a responsibility, what do you think, and this is an absolute subjective answer, what do you think the responsibility of graffiti would be or is?
That's a tough one. I think in a lot of cases it's difficult because you're committing a crime. You're painting on things. But there's also countless stories about, I mean, in me similarly, you know, where you'll get these stores, maybe they're covered in tags, maybe they're getting painted all the time, and you say, hey, look, let me paint it. I'm someone who paints. The other writers know me. I can paint you a mural, and it'll never get tagged again. I'll put up some art for you. There's things like that. There's things that you can
Is it because, and I'm not saying a graffiti artist is a thief, but just to use that old adage, is it because there's honor amongst thieves? Other graffiti writers know not to touch Matt's work, and so if you do it, it won't be touched?
Yeah, or vice versa.
Sure,
you
sure.
know, one of the older people that I looked up to when I was coming up, if you know, hey, I want to go tag this wall, and they had something on it, I'm not going to paint over them.
Absolutely.
I'm going to leave it. And there is a hierarchy in there as far as, you know, there's a lot of respect. You know, it's all a sport.
This is an organized crime.
Right. In a sense, yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, we're all just competing with each other to do better, but to get a bigger spot, you know, to paint the next spot. But, you know, there's things you can do, you know, you can painting schools, teaching lessons. There's things that graffiti writers do and can do and have done. I mean, they're certainly not all going to do it. But, you know, there is a way to give back for sure.
Speaking of there is a way, that's also a perfect segue into my next question. I've been all over this country and in small part all over this planet, and I have seen graffiti in places that I say, how did a person even get in that spot? On the inside of the culture, is it a higher endeavor to do a spot that seems unreachable?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, from back when they were painting subway trains, you know, and once they shut that down, I mean, there's still people painting subway trains in 2025. It's extremely risky. A lot of the train yards have armed guards, but, you know, to have a picture of your graffiti on a subway car in New York City, in Chicago, you know, anywhere is, I mean, that's the peak, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just about who can paint the better spot. I would see someone go out and do something. I'd say, okay, I'm going to try and climb higher than you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to try and put my name up higher than your name.
Yeah. What are you guys, acrobats? Are you dangling?
Oh,
are you
no,
using
no.
ladders? What is going on? Are you climbing out of windows and climbing?
It's a lot of like Three Stooges acts, you know, standing on my shoulders. You know, I'm standing on someone else's shoulders type of deal. You have people hanging off the side of buildings and stuff. We did a lot of reckless stuff, and I've known a lot of people do a lot of reckless things, sure, you know. But it is all just to say you did it, you know, to put your name out there, and everyone has to see it, and everyone has to see my art. And when they're driving by, whether they like it or not, it's going to catch their eye on top of that roof, and they're going to have to acknowledge me. You know?
And my name doesn't have to be Picasso,
right.
Basquiat, or Damien Hirst. I can be anybody, and you still have to see my exactly. work. You have to reckon with me, for better or for worse.
Right, right. You know, I may not be able to get into art school. I may not have the means to get myself into a gallery, but I can find some paint. I can rummage around my folks' shed, and I can find some spray cans, and I can paint something you're going to have to look at.
Absolutely. So first of all, this has been a great spot. And I want to close it with a question that I ask a lot of guests. And I always put them on the spot when I ask them this, so I don't want you to feel alone. But my question is, if there is a definition, what is the definition of art to you?
To me, it is feeling something so viscerally inside yourself that you can't help but put it on a piece of paper or record it in an audio format or a video or a dance, or it is feeling something that you can't quite describe so much that you have to show the world. You have to do it. You can't help yourself.
It's a follicle.
Yeah.
You can't naturally stop it from growing.
Right, right.
Well, brother, in closing, I will say, you mentioned one of my favorite taggers of all time, who is Darryl McRae, Cornbread.
Yeah.
And there's something that his name and what you did for us today have in common. You have given us a slice of something so substantive that it will keep us full until the very next episode. Matt, I appreciate you so much for stopping by and having this conversation with me about something that I've wanted to talk about for a year now. And I want to thank everybody at home for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.